And it's good to be back with my friends here at Pioneer Baptist. Being away last weekend, I was able to share with you as a church family that my oldest son, Matthew, got married last weekend in Nashville. And so I do appreciate just having some good time away with family and friends. And we were able to find a good church to go to in Nashville last Sunday morning. And it's not often that I get to just go to church and enjoy a time of worship, seated alongside my wife and my kids and my new daughters-in-law. And so that was just a great time to have the last Lord's Day. But I'm very, very glad to be back with you all here this morning, and especially today as we get to share in the Lord's Supper together. So what and let me say just ahead of time that I'm just very, very honored to be able to lead in this service today along with the deacons. We've been talking a little bit, but talking with Justin about the service today and talk with the deacons this morning beforehand. Now, with the Lord's Supper, it's a very simple observance, and it's meant to be so. It's meant to be a very basic time for the church to come together. But also, as I was sharing with the deacons today, every single church that I've served has had its own kind of particularities about the Lord's Supper. And so I'm looking forward again to sharing it with you this morning as a church family. So what I generally do is share just a few words about the Lord's Supper from Scripture. And then just to have some good prayer time together, and then go into the observance, and then have the service culminate in that. So with that in mind, please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to just share with you, beginning at verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. These are the Apostle Paul's words about the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper occurs throughout the New Testament. There are several different passages that I think are good to just help a group of believers to be in a good frame of mind to share in the bread and cup together. But I've chosen this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. If you would, please stand in honor of God's word. Follow along as I read aloud. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. In this way, let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats the bread and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. So I want to focus on this portion of the passage when Paul says in verse 29, "For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Again, I love the observance of the bread and cup. It's one of the special things that a church family does together. You know, as Baptists, we don't have sacraments. And I'm glad we don't have sacraments. A sacrament is something that imparts grace. And so as Baptists, we don't believe in sacraments. But we do have something called ordinances. In other words, there are two things that we do as a church that we do because Jesus ordered them or Jesus commanded that the church do them. And we only have two. And they are baptism and the Lord's Supper. So, as special as it is, whenever we enjoy a baptism and a worship service, it's also so special when we observe the Lord's Supper together. But I want us to be able to recognize just what this supper is. Something about gathering together on a Sunday morning to share in the bread and the cup. And I was reminded just a few weeks ago about how special it is when family gathers to just share a meal together. Because really, as the family of Christ here at Pioneer Baptist, we are sharing a meal together. Now, it's not quite the same as what we shared back a few weeks ago, the Christmas meal that we shared in the fellowship hall, which by the way, was a blast. I was really glad to share that with you. This meal isn't quite the same as that, but it carries so much more meaning, even more so than that annual Christmas meal that we share together. You know, I love Christmas meal, by the way. I've shared with you that my younger son, Drew, and his wife, Bethany, live in New Orleans. My younger son is a student at New Orleans Seminary. So they made the trip up from New Orleans all the way to Campbellsville just before Christmas, and they got in Sunday the 23rd, as a matter of fact. So we were talking about what we would do on Christmas Eve. And my wife, Sarah, actually broached the idea of doing something different on Christmas Eve than what we normally do. And my son, Drew, would have none of it. He said, no. We must do the thing that we always do on Christmas Eve. So what is it that we always do on Christmas Eve? Well, a few years ago, and I'm not sure how this tradition started, but in our family, it might as well be written in stone. On Christmas Eve, I grill out steaks on Christmas Eve. So if it's 20 degrees, if it's snowing, doesn't matter. I'm on the back porch grilling steaks. I'm not sure where that tradition started. Does anybody else have anything? Okay, I don't know. I don't know where it started. But for some reason, we started doing it a few years ago. And as far as my kids are concerned, there's nothing else they want to do on Christmas Eve. They want Dad to grill out steaks. So there I was on Christmas Eve night. We went to a service that was in our community. We got back, and I was there on the back porch grilling out steaks. Now, I did make sure that Drew, my younger son from New Orleans, was helping me that night. So he was right there with me, you know. And so I wasn't there all, because usually I'm there, no one else is outside with me, but Drew was this time. But as far as Drew is concerned, the rest of my family, as far as that is concerned, this is part of our tradition. They would not hear of us doing anything differently. So it's much more than just exactly what we serve. It's the fact that it's what we do as a tradition, and we enjoy that meal together. And I'm just so grateful for that. When we share in bread and cup, it's so much more than the elements. It's what these elements represent. And exactly the question is, what are these elements? What do we mean when we take this little piece of bread and we say this is the body of Christ? And what does it mean when we take this small cup of juice and we say this represents the blood of the new covenant? Just exactly what is that? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says some words that are very, very important. Again, picking it up at verse 27, Paul talks about how important it is that each person examine themselves, and we'll do that in just a moment. But then he goes on to say in verse 29, "For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So whatever it means to eat and drink judgment upon themselves, we don't want to do that. We don't want to mess with that. We don't want to get anywhere close to that. So Paul says, okay, if you don't want to eat and drink judgment on yourself, then you need to recognize the body. Recognize the body. So what does Paul mean when he says you've got to recognize the body? Well, we've got two options. One option is to say that this bread and this cup is the actual, literal body and blood of Christ. That is one option. But I don't think it's the right option. This is a symbol. This represents the body and blood of Jesus, because the body of Jesus was broken once for all. He just died once. He shed his blood only one time. Now, he did it. It really happened. But the Bible says that was a sacrifice once for all, never, ever, ever to be repeated. It doesn't need to be repeated. When Jesus died on the cross, it was the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God giving His life for the sins of the world. So to say that we recognize the body, it does not mean that this bread and cup are the literal body and blood of Christ. So what does Paul mean when he says, recognize the body? Well, think about that phrase. The body of the Lord. The body of the Lord. Because in the letter of 1 Corinthians, Paul uses that phrase throughout this letter. 1 Corinthians 11 is not the only place where he says the body of the Lord. He uses it throughout. In fact, let me show you. You've got your spot there in 1 Corinthians 11. Look over in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Notice what Paul says here about the body of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 18. But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Indeed, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, so that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now look very carefully at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, the Apostle Paul says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. And then that leads very naturally into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you look at your Bibles, the theme of 1 Corinthians 13 is love. Love. Love is the greatest gift. Faith, hope, and love abide these three impulses. The greatest of these is love. Now understand again the context. Paul here is talking to the church. Now he's talking to a particular church at Corinth. But this beautiful letter of 1 Corinthians is Paul's letter to any church. In fact, it is Paul's letter to Pioneer Baptist Church. So Paul is saying to you and I this morning that when we eat the bread and drink the cup, we need to recognize the body of the Lord. Not the literal body of the Lord, but guess what? That you and I are the body of Christ. That's what we've got to recognize. So, everyone that you're in church with this morning, the people that you know, the people you don't know as well, those you're related to, those who are simply good friends, everyone in church this morning, you and I are the body of Christ. And Paul simply says, listen, you've got to recognize that. And that's why I love how we do the Lord's Supper. I love the fact that we get to serve each other. I love that. Now, listen, when my oldest son got married over the weekend, they got married in the Methodist church. My daughter-in-law is Methodist. So as part of their wedding ceremony, they had a Lord's Supper observance. But it was like Methodists do it. Now, again, I'm not knocking Methodists. Don't misunderstand me. But we did it different, okay? So in that particular worship setting, everyone came forward and took the bread and the cup. So individuals came forward and took it that way. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. But I love the fact that in most Baptist churches, we do the Lord's Supper by what? Passing, we say we pass the elements. In other words, one member of the church serves another. You will serve the person next to you, or the person across the aisle will serve you. Or maybe someone will come to your pew and they will serve you. What a beautiful picture that is. Because in beautiful Baptist church understanding, we are all priests. This is the priesthood of the believer. We minister to each other. We serve each other. So when we take of the bread and the cup, we've got to recognize that this is the body of Christ. Think about how much you love your church, how you have been nurtured by this church over the years, how you have been blessed by this church. But also realize, again, the part that you play, the fact that you are a member of this body. And Paul says, listen, if you're not the eye, if you're more like the big toe or something, you know. Imagine someone says, man, I just wish I were more prominent. I wish I were more out front. People treat me like I'm the big toe or something, you know. Sometimes we get out of joint in the part that we have in the body. Paul says, listen. Rejoice with who you are. Rejoice in where God has placed you. The Holy Spirit's in charge of this. He's the one that has apportioned the gifts, and He will make sure that every person is doing exactly what they need to do so that what? The body of Christ functions beautifully. That's who you are, Pioneer Baptist. You are the body of Christ. One person's the eye. One person's the big toe. One person's the ear. One person's the elbow. I mean, you get how this works. But remember what Paul says. If one part suffers, we all suffer. If one part mourns, we all mourn. At the same time, if one member rejoices, we all rejoice. If one member has received some great news over the past couple of days, we all rejoice with that person. We're so thankful. We're not resentful. We're not jealous. We're thankful for how God is blessing their lives. But we're together, and the Holy Spirit knits us together. So whenever a church does the Lord's Supper, whenever we share the bread and share the cup, it's an opportunity for Jesus Christ Himself to make the body stronger and to make it healthier. Let's share the bread and let's share the cup, and let's do so recognizing that together this morning we are the body of Christ. Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the truth of your word today that reminds us that this is more than simply small pieces of bread on a tray and small plastic cups with grape juice. It is so much more than that. You have given this observance meaning, and you are the one who has said, take this bread, take this cup, do it in remembrance of me, remember again my sacrifice, and recognize that now, we are the body of Christ. Father, first of all, we want to thank you for this truth. Secondly, Lord, we want to be honest with you. We want to be honest and say that there are times, maybe even recently, when we haven't always recognized the Pioneer Baptist Church is the body of the Lord. And God, we haven't always recognized that every single one of us is a member of that body, and that there are things that you have called us to do. And when we sit back and don't do them, then the body is impaired. Or when we choose to be jealous or bitter or spiteful, then what's happened? There's a part of the body that is diseased and not working as well as it could be. And just as we understand what it means to have a physical body that is in some way handicapped, Lord, a church can be handicapped in that way. But God, all the while, you are here with your Spirit to revive, to refresh, to replenish, to strengthen, so that the body can be strong as you have always meant it to be. So, Lord, today, even as we confess our sins, we once again thank you for the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ, because your word says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're honest with you, Father, to say that if it were up to our own merit, our own worthiness, none of us, not a single one of us, would be worthy to be around this table. But God, we are so thankful that it's not up to our worthiness or our merit. It's all about you. You are the one who forgives our sins. You are the one who gives us those new garments. You are the one who makes us worthy to share in the supper. So much so that if we still say we're not worthy as believers in Christ, then we are casting our disagreement upon what your very word says. So, Lord, renew our faith and renew our acknowledgement in the grace that you give us and the fact, Lord, that we depend totally and completely upon your love and forgiveness. And so, God, as we share in the bread and cup together today, may we be able to leave this service truly saying that we recognize that together we are the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.